Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Hey. Not in a creepy
way. Hello. Hello.
This is brother Eric.
This is brother Jay.
And today we're going to talk about Madea's Big Happy Family, 2011. Written, produced, and starring Tyler Perry. Now, this is your first Madea movie as well?
Yes.
Like, I knew about Madea kind of in the zeitgeist, but I didn't understand. I wasn't sure what I was getting with a Madea movie. And apparently, I'm getting everything. This movie had everything. But we'll let it unfold as it unfolds in the plot. But what was your first reaction to seeing this movie?
I was confused. I couldn't tell if it's supposed to be a parody, or if it's just mocking, or if it's patronizing, or all of the above, or something I don't understand because I'm culturally milquetoast. So,
yeah, I think there's going to be a little bit of that because we are, again, severely middle-aged white guys. Men of power.
We're white out white.
Yeah. Yes. So, but beyond that, you know, this is, of course... Now, again, I'm learning more and more about Tyler Perry as we go along on this adventure. We're not going to cover the MCU, the Madea cinematic universe, like we're covering the Marvel cinematic universe. But did you enjoy this movie?
I don't know.
See, I did, but almost in spite of itself.
I liked parts of it, but parts of it I was really confused by.
Well, and this is tonal shift like crazy. Like this is if we thought the last Tyler Perry movie, Fall from Grace, had tone shifts, this movie
scene to scene,
whiplash. Yeah.
Oh, sometimes exactly. Within scenes.
Yes. Yeah.
I think my hot take on this, my initial read, my high level overview elevator pitch was this movie had a lot of vignette stories that got shoved together into one story with some kind of comedic attempt to stream a theme.
Yeah.
Madea being that theme.
Yeah, I put in my little review on Letterboxd that this was a I put Ermager, what a movie. It's a wild commentary about heavy issues wrapped up in a joke-a-thon.
And
because you know, I think I texted you or talked to you or something, like I was maybe 10 minutes into the movie, 15 minutes into the movie, and it was just joke, 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 joke. And they weren't all great jokes. But as far as like it was a, which is why I'm like, oh, the parents will love this. This is like a callback to like the 70s and 80s movies that were just like, again, like Dom DeLuise, Burt Reynolds. Yeah, exactly. Jerry, anything with Jerry Reed in it was just joke, 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 joke. And, you know,
didn't matter if there was 1,000 of them because only 2 of them had to be funny because you would just keep them going.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. And then when you get to the end and you, over the credits, they play the outtakes. That's beautiful. And this is what this movie did, too. So it reminded me a little bit of that. This is like Cannonball Run, kind of. But because God knows it had as many characters as Cannonball Run. And I think maybe we're supposed to know a lot of these characters from other movies. Maybe not.
That would make a lot more sense.
Yeah. This was the first movie, apparently, with Aunt Bam in it. And we're going to talk about Aunt Bam in just a second. But I was confused about this too, because like I said, 15 minutes in, I'm like, joke, 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 joke. And then it took some like screeching hard
180s,
like turns about like relationships, and like I said, we'll let kind of let it unfold. We'll let it evolve as we talk about the plot, because things come up and are addressed, and you're like, oh, this is this kind of movie. Like, oh no, this is this kind of movie. It's like, wait, but we still have this kind of movie going on, and then we have Madea that comes in and saves the day in a very strange way.
They're all kind of in different movies.
A little bit, yeah.
So,
yeah. And yet,
they intersect, but they don't necessarily interact.
But can I point out that there is a shit ton of really good acting in this movie?
Yeah.
Like, these, and I think this is another thing that Tyler Perry has going for him. You know, I did a little confirmation cruise last time. I was like, oh no, I'm not talking intelligently about this guy. But, so, the studio he built near Atlanta is a former, like, Confederate fort.
Good for
that
him.
He has turned into a studio. Yeah, exactly. And he wants to make these movies that have predominantly black actors and characters and writers. Well, he's a writer. Although, maybe he has a stable of writers that he just takes credit. Who knows? Either way, doesn't matter. I referenced, like, last time we talked about a Tyler Perry movie, I referenced Newcomers, the podcast, where Nicole Byers and Lauren Lapkus watched the Madea movie, some of them. And they actually did one on this movie, but I didn't listen to it on purpose because I didn't want to be,
biased.
I just want to be influenced by their reaction. Right. Because, you know, I'm sure a lot of the reactions material. Are the same, but, you know, being a white guy, middle-aged white guy, I'm going to have a different reaction than they're going to have. But from listening to their some other episodes about, like, the Tyler Perry universe, you know, here's the sad truth that makes this all work, is that you've got a lot of, like, writers and actors and whatever that are basically, like, minority hires, right, on a production. Like, you have a TV show, or you've got a movie or whatever, and you want to, you know, make sure that you're good with the PC crowd, so you hire a bunch of minorities, right? But then when you find somebody who's really talented, and suddenly their price goes up, you know, they're like, well, we're not going to, you know, if we're just hiring them as a minority, like, hire, then we're not going to pay them, like, what they're worth as a real actor. So unless you're a superstar, you can kind of hit this glass ceiling. And I think that's what Tyler Perry is, not taking advantage is a strong word, because I'm not saying he is going in, it's like taking advantage of the situation, but he realizes the situation. And so he's got all these really quality actors working for him. And the fact that they can, you know, make these movies in a couple of days using, I'm sure it's all his crazy shorthand, is really interesting to me. I mean, like I said, this has better acting in it than it needs to have. Except it needs to have some pretty good acting, because, again, there's so much buffoonery that kind of happens, and you're like, what? Like, why? Anyway, any more thoughts before we kind of dive in?
No, because any thoughts I have are going to spoil what we're going to discuss. So much of what I'm going to discuss is just going to be me apologizing for being white and not understanding. So I'll just get that out of the way up front.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. I'm less apologetic about it this time because, yeah, this is just – on one hand, this is just like an American movie. But on the other hand, it brings up some real issues. And by the way, this was not only a stage play. This was a stage musical.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Now I want the music.
The fact
is that, there is a 1-800 Chocoho song?
Yes. Didn't you hear it at the end of the credits? They had the Chocoho.
I did. I didn't realize that was from a musical.
No, I don't know if that's in the musical or not. But
okay, I'm pulling up Apple Music right now.
Yeah, please. Because I wonder if you can get like the whole, because there's a whole song list for the play.
Not a paid endorsement, by the way.
And by the way, one of the things that Tyler Perry does, and you kind of see it a little bit in the outtakes, is Tyler Perry will break the fourth wall on stage a ton. Like, that's kind of one of his signatures. Like, it's written in that at some point, you know, she'll be like, well, I'm going to go run to the door. And he's like, girl, this is a play. There is no door. You're not running anywhere. and then, of course, audience laughs and whatever, you know. Or he'll drop the Madea voice and just talking his normal, you know, like deep timber voice, And that's also played for laughs, too.
Okay. I've already forgotten. So
1-800
Big Happy Family, right?
Yes. Medea's Big Happy Family.
Music from the motion picture from Family Reunion.
No. Different movie.
Yeah, I got it. I'm looking. But I'm on the right track. By
the
way,
spoiler. In the funeral scene, the choir is made up of most of the stage play actors. Or the musical, play type actors.
The performers from the play? Yeah,
yes, from the original.
Is that what you were trying to say?
That's what I'm trying inartfully to say.
Let me see if it comes up as Tyler Perry.
Graceful transitions. But that to me explains why there are not one, but two full-length music videos wrapped in this movie.
The opening.
Well, there's that, but then there's two points where, and they're right in the row, where it's just a music video. And by the way, part of the reason there is sexual abuse in almost every one of his movies is because he's a survivor of sexual abuse. So that's one of his passionate things. That
explains it. So 1-800 Choked at Ho is actually a single, I believe, on Apple Music.
Nice.
There is a bunch of other Tyler Perry stuff, but I don't see specifically this movie. But unfortunately, there's also, not unfortunately, unfortunately for our purposes of searching in this short window of time, there is way too much to wade through for me to decipher.
Oh, he's got a whole universe.
No, good. And good. I mean, I'm awesome. I'm glad for that. I think it's important. I think it's good. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good middle finger that he's using a Confederate base to pump out entertainment for, the African-American community. Because I think that's fitting. Isn't that what you want?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah. Now, the fact that there's huge misogynist undertones or overtones, I mean, not subtext, text in this movie is crazy.
That was some of my confusion, because the way he writes and the way he acts and the way he's written the characters, it's not very flattering for some of the characters.
No, and I think that's part of the deal, I think, is that he is trying to, and a lot of the defense that I see in commentary online or reviews or whatever, is that he's putting in real life issues in otherwise fanciful movies, over the top melodramas, but putting in real life issues. But it does come off as a whiplash effect as far as tonal shifts.
So my initial read for this whole movie, though, it read to me like it's a public service announcement for the Black community to get better medical care and health care and mental health care.
Yeah, there's that.
Because there's constantly mentions of health and screening and what to do. Except it's very incidental and downplayed. Except that it's not, because that's what the movie's about.
Well,
so it's totally just... It's so bipolar.
Okay, let's dive in, because we got to dive in, because there's some other issues here I want to bring up, but let's get to them as we get to them.
And I got to say, the cartoon opening was an interesting choice.
Oh yeah. This whole thing, there were definitely choices made, and I'm assuming, and again, if you tell 100 jokes and 20 of them land, it's probably a success. Boom, 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 boom. There's so much.
Because nobody's going to remember the other discarded ones. They're only going to remember what made them laugh.
Yeah. And, I'm sure there are a lot of these things. The whole opening with the drive-thru restaurant thing. Snacks. TLC. The Tastes Like Chicken Burger or whatever.
Oh, God.
But that whole thing, what is it? Wish fulfillment kind of... when they change, you've been waiting 15 minutes, but now you suddenly are 1 minute out of the breakfast window that you wanted to order your food in. Anyway, but that's not what this movie is about. Although, Medea. By the way, I learned what Medea was all about. Her name is Mabel Simmons, right? That's the character's name. Medea comes from a Southern thing. It's short for Mother Dearest or Ma Dear. But of course, the weird accent she has, hello, it's mud.
Hello, hallelujah.
Yeah, exactly.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, It's weird. I don't understand. I've never heard anybody talk Hiller.
Yeah, but his affect is deliberate.
Yes, yes, yes.
But by the way, on Amazon Music, there is Madea's Big Happy Family 2011 soundtrack, and there are quite a few tracks.
Oh, yeah. Tired? It's got to be
Tired.
Number one.
So, you want me to read through them real quick?
Yeah, let's read through them.
Family, Explosion, Heaven Waits, Tired, Booty Shake, The Clockwork Mix, T-Eyeball, Thicky Trick, Get Dat, Come On in the Room, Heaven Waits, 1-800 Choke That Hoe, Tired.
I think, okay, does it have the songwriting credits on there, on that list?
Yeah.
I think Tyler Perry wrote Heaven Waits, right?
No.
No, okay, maybe not.
He wrote 1-800 Choke That Hoe.
Well, yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
If you're wrong, I don't want to be right. Through the Roof. So anyway, this goes on. There's more.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is he directly credited for writing? Not that I want to call him out, but let's see.
No. I mean, again, he wrote the musical, so theoretically.
1-800 Choke That Hoe, Heaven Waits, Come On in the Room. Yeah, that's it. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So back to the non-musical movie, except for when there's two music videos shoved in there. And then okay. So, and then you notice Madea's Cadillac DeVille has the 1-800 Choke That Hoe bumper sticker on from the very beginning.
I did. That's of course I did.
Yeah.
I was trying to make sense of the license plate.
Well, and so this misogyny thing is like also a Tyler Perry thing. Like he's very religious when it comes to like traditional family roles, which this is none too subtle about. Like men need to be the leader of the family and women need to be like obedient to that leadership. In fact, this movie posits that it's when the women are overbearing that there's the problem in the relationship. Like they just need a strong man to work it all out. So it's not exactly a feminist masterpiece, this thing.
No. There's a meme somewhere of Madea that says, you know, if you pay all the bills for your man, you're a lesbian.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And he is pretty unapologetic as far as that view. Like, he has a very, very strong worldview when it comes to that. And this movie, again, this movie deals with death. And he, from the very beginning, you know, the character who's basically being told she's going to die is like, look, she's good with God, so don't worry about her. She'll be fine. She's just worried about her family. So, yeah, and that comes up a lot. So, but there is, I didn't see any Catholic bashing in this movie. Just, I was kind of on the lookout after the last movie.
There wasn't Catholic bashing. However, not really. I mean, there were religious overtones, but then they were just kind of eschewed.
Well, again, it depends on which prescriptions you read from the Bible.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so. Hello.
So, I like cola.
This movie starts out where Shirley, Loretta Devine from Grey's Anatomy, Crash, and Doc McStuffins and Boston Public, who's Madea's niece, goes to visit Dr. Evans, Philip Anthony Rodriguez from the TV show Grimm, with Aunt Bam, Cassie Davis, about her cancer and find out that it's gotten worse and she only has a few weeks to live. So she tells Aunt Bam to call her children so she can invite them to dinner to tell them all at the same time. Now, as we have recently experienced a scary medical situation where the family all got together, you got like there's a way to present this. Hey, everybody needs to come have dinner tonight. Like this is important. That A should alert you that this isn't something you should mess with, and B, this is a lot more scary than you're going to want it to be.
Yeah, but that also presumes that the family unit has good, healthy, open communication.
Oh no, of course not. Yeah, well, and that's
because, and of course, now we're making it all about us.
Well, it has to be about us.
I think in our family, you know, we have come to a point where we're able to communicate clearly, effectively. We have to do some translating amongst, but, you know, we generally can get the gist between the three of us pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Where this family, their people are not communicating.
No. And there's a lot of, a lot of stuff going on, but we'll get to that stuff in just a second. Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, this movie was only hour 45.
Oh, yeah. No, this
but
was...
It felt like it was 3 hours long.
There was so much jam-packed. But I didn't feel like it was dragging. I watched Marvel movies that felt longer than this. Well, they all were longer than this, but that felt much longer than this. How about that? Okay. First impression, Aunt Bam, right? Cassie Davis. I didn't know, again, I've never seen any of these movies before. She's a pot-smoking quipster. She is a joke machine. She is commentary. By the way, Dr. Evans, his primary role, and apparently this is also a trope in Tyler Perry movies, he is the eye candy for the ladies. His job is to be pretty with nice eyes and be very compassionate.
Not just eye candy for the ladies, but yeah.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah. No, he's a handsome man who is just being charming, but also kind of being exploited for it, like ladies were in the 70s and maybe further. But basically, he is only there to be a pretty man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be harassed.
By the way, the latest Old Spice commercial.
Yeah.
It could have been a Tyler Perry commercial.
I was going to say that the doctor versus the
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown's the doctor.
No, Dr. Evans is the doctor.
Oh, Dr. Evans versus the women.
Yes,
is like the reversal of the Frank and Doralee characters in 9 to 5 with the sexual harassment.
Oh yeah, exactly. Uh huh. Yes. Yeah, and he's just there taking it. He doesn't pretty like it necessarily. Again, these are all expressed in his beautiful eyes. But yeah, see, I thought Aunt Bam was going to be the comic relief for the whole movie.
Oh. So on YouTube, there is the play Tyler Perry's Madea's Big Happy Family.
The whole
2 hours
33.
2:33. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It won't let me watch it because I haven't verified my age. Yeah, so I'll have to. That'll be next
adult
to my list.
Subject matter in there.
No,
some swearing too. Yeah. Anyway, so I thought Aunt Bam was going to be like the main comic relief, but if anything, she's just a mini Madea.
She's the comedy primer. She's like the comedy fluffer.
Yep. Oh, exactly. Yeah. That's a good if gross explanation of it.
Well, it's what I do.
Yeah. Well, so then we got. So we got, again, Shirley in the hospital for her. She's going to die of cancer. The cancer is back. I mean, that's that this could be a super, grim, if you pardon the callback.
Pardon the pun. Yeah.
But it's not. It's just, it's a thing. But in the meantime, also with the doctor, we have Cora Brown and her father, Mr. Brown, which, by the way, I did not know their relationship in the beginning.
Yeah, again, I think that's because we haven't seen the rest of the universe.
I think that's it, yeah. By the way, they are a married couple in real life.
Because if you want this... Oh, my God, really?
Yes.
So, because the series, the Madea series, this is... Where in the Madea series? Okay. So, I'm assuming these are... That's 2005. I'm just double-checking. So, in order, this looks like in order. The Madea series is... First is Diary of a Mad Black Woman... Madea's family reunion, Madea goes to jail, I Can Do Bad All by Myself, then this movie, then Madea's Witness Protection, A Madea Christmas, Madea's Tough Love, Boo, A Madea Halloween, Boo 2, A Madea Halloween, and A Madea Family Funeral.
Which is ostensibly the last Madea film, but yeah, go figure. I don't think she's the one who dies in the family funeral. But that's it. Anyway, okay. So yeah, so Cora Brown is with her father, Mr. Brown, and they're at the hospital to do a checkup. And there's a whole bunch of again, these are dumb 70s jokes. You got to get a colonoscopy. Oh no, that's where you're wrong. I drink cola all the time.
It was like Sanford and Son-esque.
Yes. I was waiting for one of them to turn to, because there was a silverback gorilla joke.
Yeah,
and that's to me. It was like when God, I forget her name, but Fred Sanford's sister-in-law, somehow she was tending to him, and he's like, "You should shove your face into a bunch of dough and make gorilla cookies." Anyway, so yeah, so we had all this like silly wordplay jokes, which because they're coming so fast are fine, but it was like a lot of groaning, kind of, you know, sort of in the dad joking kind of material. And so so eventually they said, yeah, he's got diabetes. So they go say, yeah, you're right. They give out real medical information. Like, Dr. Evans is there to spout the truth. Like, I bet you there are people that think Dr. Evans is a real doctor.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, he's as qualified as Dr. Oz, right?
I mean, I give him credit because he's trying to get the community, like, through comedy, but
these are important things. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Diabetes and obesity.
Colonoscopies. And
high blood pressure and all these things are, important things. In fact.
And disproportionately affect the black community.
Yeah. 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 Oh, absolutely. No, this, I'm telling you, he's not, he's a living saint, but he's doing some good work.
I think he's brilliant. I think that, again, a milquetoast boy here, I think that it's not, I'm not attenuated to it. It's not bad. It's just, you know.
Yeah, I think the last movie I said was, well, this is not for me. It's like, no, it turns out it's for me. Like, I enjoyed this movie. Like, I don't know if I'm going to ever watch it again. But, you know, if a Madea movie comes on, I might actually watch it just because it's like, oh, okay, I know what I'm getting into now. Crazy melodrama and also some quippy, like, jokey jokes. I mean, not, you know. In fact, at one point, he was actually, what was the year of the Chris Tucker, Jackie Chan movie? Rush Hour?
Oh, my God.
Because he actually at one point says, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Like, that is strictly a Chris Tucker from Rush Hour joke.
When was it? Let me look. I can look it up. Stolen Valor, technology. Man. 1998.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. So, ripped from the headlines, I'm sure. Because, of course, I'm sure the play was written way before 2011.
There's four Rush Hour movies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the fourth isn't made yet.
Oh, okay. Well. So,
all right.
What has Chris Tucker been up to? Now, we can't go off on that tangent. Maybe he has baby mama problems dragging him down. Anyway, so by the way, that's not just a racist thing. That's actually a callback to this movie. Okay, so blah blah blah. Then we meet Madea, Tyler Perry, who is going to the drive through in a restaurant called Snacks. And the person taking her order is on the phone and not paying any attention and got some sort of drama going on. And Medea's being very polite about it. And then she says she wants like some sort of like egg and ham biscuit or something. And she's told, they're out of
egg, ham and cheese.
Egg, ham and cheese. Yeah. And yeah, they're out of what? They're out of ham or something. And then they're out of eggs. And then it's like, how can you be out of eggs? Like, and then after they have this whole conversation about the fact that they don't have it, he's like, well, just give me a biscuit. And she's like, I'm sorry, it's now 10:31, and we've got to switch over to our lunch menu. And that's where Madea flips her chicken and says, "Let me talk to your manager." No, I'm sorry, he drives up to the front. And says, let me talk to your manager. She drives up to the front and wants to talk to the manager. Again, all very polite. Like, Aunt Bam is way over the top, and Madea starts out, like, on a low burn.
She crashes in the restaurant, rampages, grabs food, and leaves with seemingly no consequences.
It turns out Madea's not afraid of the police. or anything. And she's not the hero in this story, as she will tell you. It's weird. It was a very strange scene in a movie that is not a farce.
I just pulled up 2 minutes of YouTube of Byron.
Oh, yeah. Byron.
Oh, my God. It was so jarring. I know it actually made me laugh, it just grated on me at the same time. But I laughed at it constantly. Every time it happened, I laughed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just so over the top. That's crazy, crazy stereotypical characters. And yet, you know, they work. They, okay. So,
Biscuit.
So yeah, so the Medea crashes through the restaurant, grabs some food, and drives away, blah blah blah. But now Shirley, of course, wants to have her family for dinner. So we got Shirley's children, including Byron, played by Shad Bow Wow Moss. Little Bow Wow used to be Little Bow Wow, now he's grown up to be Shad Moss. He was, by the way, in Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. And then some of the other Fast and Furious movies, I think. And then CSI Cyber and the TV show, Are We There Yet? So, again, Byron, who's like 18 years old. And then there's Tammy, played by Natalie Dressel-Reed, who is in the TV show Eve. And Kimberly, played by Shannon Kane from All My Children, mostly. So they all arrive at Shirley's house later that day for a dinner that Shirley has planned to tell them this bad news, right? She's dying. One ping only? What was that? I will send you the screenshot of where you froze. It was very funny.
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me at all? You can't hear me. Nah. I'm talking right now. Do you hear the words coming out of my mouth?
That's kind of funny. Okay, I'm going to reboot. Hang on. Let's see if this works. I gotta figure out how to do it. System information. I wish you would try. I wish you'd try me. Try me. Without that young dummy. I got something more. I would trap my lazy hole. Lie, see me crazy hole. Garnish my wages. Child support taking all my dough. $200-$400 a month. Still collecting welfare. But I got a hunch. Girl, you know I ain't that baby daddy. He outside barefoot, empty bottle, diaper saggy. Think your grandpa Joe. 1-800-1-800. Call 1-800-JOKE at home. 1-800-JOKE. I wish you would.
Okay, I got the button. I'm rebooting now.
Okay.
So, don't go away. I'll be right back.
So, Byron arrives at home with his girlfriend Renee, played by Lauren London from The Game TV show, and his baby Byron Jr. Tammy arrives with her husband Harold, Rodney Perry, no relation, who's a stand-up comic. By the way, he had a stroke and recovered for it in like 2016, 2017 or whatever. So, again, he's one of those people that talks out about get your blood pressure checked, that kind of stuff. Anyway, so yeah, so Tammy and Harold and their two kids, two disrespectful little boys. And then Kimberly arrives with her husband Calvin, played by Isaiah Mustafa from It Chapter 2 and the TV show Shadowhunters. And Tammy and Kimberly then are starting to talk about, starting to argue when Byron's ex-girlfriend Sabrina, Tayana Taylor from Coming the Number 2 America, and baby mama arrives. So Sabrina is, of course, turns out she's the manager of the snacks, restaurant who has got no time for this. Basically she is baby mana. She is baby mana who just wants her stinking money. And it's interesting because, okay, so here are the relationship issues that they kind of discuss here. So Byron, is 18 years old and he's already been in jail for drug dealing. And his new girlfriend, Lauren, she expects to be kept. She wants to be a kept woman. So she expects him to be earning much more than the $1,000 a month he is earning now.
And doesn't care if he deals drugs to do it.
No, in fact, would prefer he does that.
Yeah, is encouraging him, actually.
Yes. Basically saying...
One would say pushing him into it.
One might say that, yes. And, of course, baby mama wants $300 a week from him in child support. And he only makes $300 a month in child support. And he's only making $1,000 a month. By the way, he's making $12,000 a year? Like, holy shit. He should be living at a home with his mom because he can't afford anything else. So that's the relationship there is Byron's got a scary baby mama who is all just about money. And that's a recurring issue, apparently. And then his new girlfriend, who's also all about the money. So, yeah, the women in Byron's life just want to take shit from him. That's all he's there for. Now, Tammy and Harold's relationship, they've been married a long time.
Like 17 years,
yeah,
I think.
Exactly, yeah, a very long time, right? And basically,
a very long time. Our parents have been together 50, so.
That's true, yes. Well, yeah, actually, Tammy and Harold have been married about the same time that Kelly and I have been married. Although our relationship is better, much better. But, you know, after a while, you know, obviously, familiarity breeds a certain amount of contempt, I guess. Not talking about me, but talking about Tammy and Harold. And yes. Harold is basically just, he's a little whooped.
That's probably fair.
But he's very frustrating to him. But he's got too much invested. Like, what is he going to do, right? And then we have...
Well, I think he's either comfortable and or complacent.
Yes. Yes. So, but also miserable. You know,
But predictable misery is better than uncertainty.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So.
But again, this is not...
I speak from experience.
Sure. Well, of course, yeah. But then, so that's that relationship. So Harold and Tammy basically don't really like each other at this point, but they're sort of stuck with each other. And then Kimberly and Calvin haven't been married very long, and they have a toddler, right?
Yeah.
Maybe even three.
They actually said, I think.
Yeah. Oh, 18 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was yelling at him. Yeah, Kimberly is the uppity one. She doesn't like her trashy family drama, and is better than everyone. And she apparently
that's a very generous description.
Yeah, and she has also used her money because she's a successful businesswoman. I think she's a real estate agent. She lives better than the rest of the family, and she has loaned them money in the past. And doesn't feel appreciated, but is better than everybody.
She's very quick to point out that she's given money, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. She uses that. In fact, she makes more than Calvin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Calvin is feeling a little whipped, too, because he doesn't appreciate how she treats him or their child. And Calvin, arguably, Calvin is the best guy in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's loyal to Mama. He's
the poster child.
In fact, all of these three guys are, like, the heroes of the story. And all these three women are horrible. Well, how many women? 2, 3, 4 women, as it turns out. Yeah. Anyway, so already that was like, oh, wow. So this is this kind of movie. Like, because again, this is a movie about these men who are trying to deal with their women. So Sabrina, of course, she's baby mama. It's so funny because she's so over the top and unlikable. But she's all talking to him about being a drug dealer and she's lying constantly. And even though she just demands the money all the time, like, what's the money you owe me? He's also trying to get him back into selling drugs, but also making fun of him and dissing him for selling drugs.
Didn't do it well.
Nobody likes her. Yeah.
Well, I kind of like her annoying factor.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I like her as a character because it's rich, because she does a good job, even if she looks like Lucky Charms.
She gives, like, 200%.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
She's, like, cranked up to 20.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If you think Tyler Perry is playing a character in Madea, certainly Teyana Taylor is playing a character in Sabrina.
Just her winding up made me start to laugh. So I have to admit... She was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Oh, and the whole Byron—that's
what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I'll send you the link for the 2-minute video of just that. Excerpts of just that.
Yeah, please, because it's just the worst. By the way, Maury Povich show is a thread in this thing about DNA and stuff.
Yeah,
and
Dina,
yes. Oh, dear God, and
what you know about Dina?
Exactly. So, Maury Povich is a certain example of, like, the worst of television culture And they're making
I guess Jerry Springer was busy.
Well, yeah. I mean, Jerry Springer did a white version of this movie called The Ringleader that had Jimmy Presley in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, which is not a bad movie, by the way. Just, again, that's weird. So all this drama going on, and the women don't like each other, and nobody respects the men. The men are all whining about not having any respect. And so all the couples leave after a bunch of family drama. And so Shirley doesn't get to tell them the bad news. like the whole reason for the season is defeated here. So, again, this is actually a fun kind of setup, right? Let's see.
It's definitely tension-inducing.
Yeah, but it's also a good, like, so how do we resolve this problem? Okay, Shirley is literally dying. Is she going to be able to, like, here the clock is ticking, so you got to get these people to the dinner table to have the bad news. And so, let's see. So, during the night, Byron is arrested by the police. We don't know why at first, but we do know that he needs to get bailed out. So Shirley comes to Kimberly's house to ask her to bail him out. But Kimberly refuses in the worst way ever. Like, she is done. She's like, and of course, Calvin's like, well, yeah, let's get in the car. Let's go bail him out. And Kimberly's like, well, whose money? Like, this is your mom asking to bail your brother out of jail. We're going to bail him out of jail. Or you're just going to leave her in the street? Well, she found a way to get here. She took the bus.
She took the bus and walked.
Yeah. And
because there wasn't a bus that went out that far.
Yeah. And Kimberly's not having it. So Calvin goes anyway. And Kimberly's pissed about this. So the next day, Aunt Bam tells Medea about Shirley's cancer prognosis. And Medea promises to gather all the family together. By the way, it took me far too long in this scene Joe.
But do they actually tell? But did they, I don't think they actually tell Medea she's got cancer. I think they just tell her that she's sick. I don't think there's any specificity.
I'm not sure whether the story was told off camera or whatever. It seems like Medea knows the story.
Mm.
But okay, what about Joe? Okay. Well, he was also played by Tyler Perry. Joe's the guy with the oxygen tank that was making all the quips in Medea's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was like Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, totally. And
I mean, that's a poor comparison. But
it's the apt comparison. He's playing a bunch
of characters in his own movie.
Yeah, it is the comparison, right?
It's like the Clumps or whatever it is. The Clumps or Nutty Professor, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, Hercules. It's Coming to America too. It's a whole bunch of Eddie Murphy movies. he likes to play different characters.
I give him credit for that. In as much as that's a lot of work.
One less actor he has to pay, though.
Well, that's true, I suppose. Does he get additional actor credits for that? If he plays multiple characters in one movie, does he just get one entry with multiple characters, or do they get individual entries for each character? Huh. Like on IMDb. I'll have to look it up. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he runs the studio. he can pay himself whatever he wants to pay himself.
But he's he's clearly very comfortable in Medea's clothing.
Well, yeah, so it took me, it took me far too long to realize, because Joe or whatever is saying, like, help me, help
you
me.
You didn't get that joke?
And then he's talking about the flow. Like, you're blocking the flow. I'm like, you're going to, ruin the flow. I'm like, the flow? What the hell are you talking about? Like, and then it's like, oh no, he means the floor.
Like, yeah. That I caught that right away. It actually, that made me laugh.
Oh, no, it was funny, but it
was I laughed ashamedly, so.
Yeah. No, again.
It's a big fat
joke. They're funny. Again, it's sort of a Family Guy thing, too, because it just goes on and on and on.
Well, that's the rule of comedy. It's funny. It's not really funny. It's really not funny. It is no longer funny. It's still not funny. It's kind of funny. It's hilarious. It's that whole cycle.
Yeah. It's
some would call it the Saturday Night Live syndrome, except that they never get back to that. It's hilarious again.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, nature of sketch show. I'm just saying.
Medea should host Saturday Night Live.
I bet you Tyler Perry has hosted at least once. Anyway, so basically now Aunt Bam tells Medea about the situation, and Medea's like, oh no. all gather everybody for dinner that evening. What is it? How does she pronounce dinner? It's weird. Anyway.
Tyler Perry has never been on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay. Well, so first thing she does, she goes to Harold's Auto Repair Shop. Where Tammy works with him. And so she basically, it's funny, because the Medea character is weird. The Medea character comes in and immediately, like, treats Harold like shit. Like, absolutely pile shit on him. And this is, of course, I don't have enough information, so I'm just going to talk out of my ass about this whole thing. But I think the point is, like, I'm going to be disrespectful to you, and then I'm going to be more disrespectful for you because of the way you acted, responded when I was acting disrespectful. Like, you didn't stand up for yourself, so now I'm going to continue to treat you like shit because you apparently enjoy it or deserve it or whatever.
So you not reacting when I treated you badly was asking and begging for me to just continue to treat you more badly.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. So
I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because the proper thing would have been for Harold to just put Medea in her place. Maybe through bad words and or violence.
I don't know that anybody would be brave enough to put Medea in her place.
Medea is outside the rules because she don't give a shit. Yes. She's Honey Badger. She's not scared of the police. Call the popo.
Hello.
Exactly. There's a movie where she went to jail, and then that's like a couple of movies into a whole series. So she goes and she totally disrespects Harold, and actually disrespects him and his ability to do his job and everything. Like just humiliates him.
Emasculates him.
Yeah, and uses the whole thing like what was the joke? Like, you better tell the funeral home to put you in the casket on your stomach so you can give your ass a break because you've been sitting on your ass at the job for so long. Anyway, I'm sorry, poorly told joke. But she goes immediately from there in to talk to Tammy, who's again the manager or whatever of this auto shop, and the two kids. And so she's real polite to Tammy, but she's like, yeah, you're coming to dinner, whatever. And then Tammy has to go attend to some business. And that's where Medea gets to.
Tammy goes to attend to business because she wants away from Medea.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then the kids are left with Medea. Medea ain't having the kids' disrespect because the kids are disrespectful. So,
but it was also satisfying.
Oh, it was completely satisfying that she like basically slapped the shit out of these kids.
Yeah. She pistol whipped him.
Yeah. Again, in a very satisfying way. Yes, ma'am. no, she, what was it? Hello. Yeah, it's like, when you see a woman, you'll say hello. Hello, ma'am. Like, it's like, oh my God. Anyway, it just worked. It was dumb, but it worked. So
again, I imagine Tyler Perry must have a master dictionary somewhere.
So Medea is something like a weird fairy godmother that comes in and sprinkles a bunch of fairy dust on things to make situations better, kind of. So, so she basically beats the shit out of the kids, tells Tammy under no uncertain terms she's coming to dinner. And yeah, Harold's going to do what Tammy tells him to do, because that's what Harold is. He's just a bitch. So then she goes to Byron's workplace, and Byron, who has been got out of jail, but therefore is late to work. Apparently, he's been late to work more than once because his boss is not having it, and so he just got fired. So Byron's not having the best life. Byron's got a crappy current girlfriend, a scary baby mama situation. Was in jail, turns out, for failed to pay child support because of the baby mama situation, and just lost his job. So. And he's, everything is telling him to go back to sell drugs, but he's trying to be cool. He's trying to be clean. He's trying to be a good guy. By the way, he also thinks because what was it? Sabrina told Shirley that he was selling drugs or whatever. So Shirley thinks that he's lying, and she's like, I would never lie to you, Grandma. Sorry, Mom. Anyway, sorry. Were you looking something up? and smiling.
I am looking at Rotten Tomatoes Madea quotes for just this movie.
Okay.
Now I got silver hair, but I got silver bullets too. Do you want one?
So how about the one about the funeral?
Let's see. Sit down, you black leprechaun looking like out of a damn box. I love that. Yeah. What about the funeral now?
When she talks to Harold about when he dies. Oh.
You want to sit down so much when you die, those people to bury you on your... this is clearly written. Anyway, tell those people to bury you on your stomach to give your ass a break.
Yeah. Again, it must be in the delivery, because neither of us could pull it off even though you're reading the words.
I'm not even going to tell you. Clearly, it's... Yeah. Well, I suspect this is written probably by a white person, and they've sanitized it for milk toasty soft tissue brains like mine.
Ah, we'll see. Don't
you know, row your hoe up and down the street. Yeah, oh my god.
Because she's a piece of meat.
Oh my god.
Oh no. Again, lots of weird lines here.
When a lady walk in, you say hello.
Again, it shouldn't be funny, but it is. And I swear I've probably been hearing people for the last 15 years or whatever, say things like
hello. Once I heard most of them, I'm like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking is Magur, is that from Madea or is that, I don't know.
No, I don't know.
Okay, so she tells Brian he's coming to dinner. Doesn't matter, he's coming to dinner. And she threatens him. Like, Madea is very threatening. It's like, you're coming to dinner. Like, I'm not coming to dinner. No, I will hunt you down and kill you if you don't come to dinner. All right. So then Madea drops in on Kimberly, who is showing a house to a white couple. And she basically, you sent me a link.
I sent you the Rotten Tomatoes link of the quotes that I was butchering so awfully.
She embarrasses Kimberly into coming to dinner, or at least into agreeing to it. And then we have dinner. By the way, in the meantime, so when Mr. Brown went and got his colonoscopy, and then they took the polyp out or whatever. He lost a lot of blood, so the doctor asked Cora to donate some. That's when she finds out that she doesn't have the same blood type, or that somehow their blood types are not compatible for him being her father. So, turns out...
Hello.
It turns out there's this, this Maury Povich thing about paternity and Dina and stuff. Yeah, that's going to be a running theme, but not in the way I thought it was going to be. So anyway, they have dinner, right? And, of course, Kimberly shows up, late. And, again, Calvin stands up, pulls out a chair for her, whatever. I mean, he is, the consummate gentleman. But before Shirley can tell her news to the kids again, the infighting happens, and basically between Cameron...
I think that's an understatement, the infighting happens.
Well, yeah, basically it's like Kimberly and Tammy.
All of the family secrets get spilled out in about two sentences.
Oh my god, in the meanest, cruelest, most, again, sort Enemous. Of satisfying, because Kimberly, again, is too cool for school. She's too cool for this family. She's better than them. And then Tammy, says, oh... Really? You're better than all of us? Who got pregnant at 13 and had their mom raise their kid as his own? To which
I know.
To which Kimberly is like, and Shirley is like, and Madea is like, oh, here we go. And poor Byron is like, hold on, mama, you had it there. Like, you raised another kid here? Did you know about this, Aunt Pam? It's like, took him far too long to figure out that, turns out Byron is not Shirley's son. He's Kimberly's son.
I give him credit. This was a turn I did not see coming.
Oh, no. No, not at all. This was way too serious.
There's also another turn that I did not see coming.
Exactly. Yeah. It takes another turn later. But anyway. So, again, this is where the melodrama is just poured on this. It's like they turn the fire hose on and just spraying melodrama into this whole situation. Because now Kimberly leaves in complete, humiliation or whatever. And Calvin, who, by the way, he's kind of done with Kimberly's shit anyway. And also, he doesn't appreciate that nobody, like, she didn't tell him either about this whole thing. Byron is super pissed that Shirley lied to him. Like, the one person who has always, you know, been truthful.
They said they'd never keep secrets from each other.
Exactly. And he's betrayed. She's betrayed him. So it's all, and of course, Medea has been kind of facilitating the dinner, but basically tells Shirley, like, just to let this all play out, right? So she and Aunt Bam are, like, eating collard greens and just chit-chatting about this whole thing. Again, Shirley has now had two dinners where, or two meetings at least, where the kids still don't know she is going to die in a matter of weeks. And by the way, Medea...
And all that food.
Yeah, and Medea, by the way, has already slung out some advice to Harold and to, to all the boys about how they need to be men, stand up for themselves. And so Harold basically puts Tammy in her place in a way that I thought, like, oh no, this could go one of two ways. But in a Tyler Perry movie, this makes Tammy respect him.
Yeah. To me, it was like domestic assault.
A little bit. I mean, there's no physical violence. I mean, again, in this movie especially, all the women are terrible people. So you don't feel too bad for her, except that it's sort of teaching the wrong message if you don't believe in following strict, the man is always the boss of the family rules that some religious groups believe.
I'm thinking it depends on, you know, which of those prescriptions you follow.
Exactly. And as of today, because I watched half of this movie with my family.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they pull the ripcord?
No, Journey was our interest until the hospital scenes, in which case Journey can't handle hospital scenes, so she's out. Yeah, as recently as today, I made a joke about, like, to Kelly about, well, you know, like Tyler Perry says, I should just tell you to mind your business and follow my directions like a good woman should. And Kelly was suggesting that perhaps I should give that a try and see what might happen to me. Like, okay, I guess message received.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there were some suggestions of things that would be anatomically very uncomfortable.
No, it was like, oh yeah, okay, you try that, buddy.
Let's see how this plays out.
Yep. So Harold finally says that he's sick of Tammy undermining him and not respecting his authority. And that's why the sons have no respect for their parents or anybody else. So he takes control, puts his foot down. Barely, but enough that Tammy is like, oh, I'm finding you much more attractive now that I'm being submissive. Okay. So.
It was so jarring and so abrupt.
Okay. So then we follow Kimberly and Calvin. And Calvin is like, yeah, I'm leaving you. You're a horrible person. You're horrible to your mom.
And I'm
horrible
to the family. Kid.
You lied to me, and I'm taking our child. You can't take our child. Like, I'm not leaving the child with you, you crazy woman.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. He had every right to take the child. Again, he's the best guy in this universe. Except maybe for the doctor.
The sex object.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Lonnie Anderson of this movie.
Wow, that's like a 1% reference. Nobody's gonna get that.
No, people love it.
I mean, I got it
specifically. But, WKRP, Lonnie Anderson.
Yeah.
Then the next day, when Byron and Renee go to the drugstore, they see Sabrina on Maury via the store's TV, humiliating Byron and demanding her child support, which is kind of funny because you'd think that you'd want to have Byron on the show if you were the producers of the Maury show, but maybe not.
That would have added too much storyline.
Well, yeah, I would have taken away from it a little bit. But anyway.
Besides, she can go bang.
Oh, so dumb.
We laughed every time.
It's as dumb and as funny as hello, because it takes me right out of it. Both of those things take me out of the moment, but into the laughter. So anyway,
you know, I think that may be the brilliance of Tyler Perry is that he throws all of this terrible, painful, drama at you, and then, you know, combats it with these instant quips and yeah. little like joke grenades that some of them go off at the right times and some of them never land, but you still laugh.
Yeah. Well, so again, things are actually working out better for Tammy and Harold a little bit, because Harold's putting his foot down. Kimberly and Calvin are done, pretty much. And then Byron and Renee, Byron is done. He's like, look, I got to go back to selling drugs. I don't have a choice. I got to go back to selling drugs because I got to get some money to pay off this woman who's blah, 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 blah. And Renee's like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's where she basically says, look, I expect to be kept. I'm a kept woman, which, by the way, maybe growing up in our family, maybe with our grandmother the way she was. Can you imagine those words?
No.
I cannot imagine it. Like, there's no way. So then we have the entire music video, like with the montage and everything, about Tired, where Shirley ends up like collapsing on the stairs or whatever. And yeah. Aunt Bam Plops takes her to the
bottom of the stairs.
Yeah. And then Aunt Bam takes her to the hospital, and this entire song plays, like the entire thing. It's a music video. Okay. And then all the kids, except for Kimberly, show up at the hospital and realize what's going on.
This is the turn I did not expect.
Oh, no. There's one more turn I didn't expect.
But, I know. But this is another one of those that I had expected something slightly different. Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's an interesting choice.
You expect Kimberly to show up at the last minute and understand what's going on. No.
Right.
Kimberly blows everybody off because she's done with this family. Doesn't realize that mom is dying.
She doesn't realize the mom has died.
Well, by the time she gets there, mom has died.
So that's a whole
mentioning her in her last words.
Yeah. So that's a whole lot of, look, if you don't pay attention, this is going to be your punishment to the audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
exactly.
Maybe you should listen when your family tells you something.
Exactly. Maybe it's not all about you, Kimberly.
Maybe don't ignore your family, all those phone calls and texts and emails and
Byron. Yeah. So then Shirley dies. And Kimberly shows up at the hospital, and Calvin's like, hey, where were you? I'm doing my own shit. Why am I going to call you or my sister? Yeah. Where's my mom? She was on the phone with somebody else saying, oh, yeah, it's not going to be. It's probably nothing or whatever. Yeah, Calvin's like, yeah, no, your mom, she has passed away. She is dead. Youngest here, she's dead.
Yeah, that's some me level of realism right there.
Oh, yeah, it's bad. And then we have Shirley's funeral service, which is another music video, like to the point where there's, I think, bizarre sort of shout outs to the cast of the original production. And there's characters that are acting in character, but also like dramatic through a funeral kind of thing.
It was way too much.
Yeah, it was a good song, but it was
a lot though.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, no.
It was a lot to sit through at that point in the movie. I was having trouble at that point. I'm like, oh man, I don't.
Because Sister Laura does a full on thing, and she's smiling, and she's anyway. So
well, and I was wondering. I kept thinking, what's going to be next?
Oh, I know. Yeah. Oh no!
I was afraid. I was afraid to go with what was next, and I was right.
Yes, you should be afraid, because Medea grabs all of the kids and drags them by the ear, figuratively, and actually in one way, I think maybe literally in one case, into like an ante room or whatever at the church, and says, "I'm going to lay some serious shit on you people." Like, you know, your mama didn't want me to tell you this, but, you know, here's some stuff. So Medea talks to Sabrina about abusing Byron's hard-earned money and says that she needs to start respecting him, especially telling her to stop using her child to make his life miserable, or she would be dealing with Medea herself or worse. And then Medea goes right to Byron and says, you need to get yourself a job, because dealing drugs is going to return you going to prison or the grave. Prison or the grave. Which do you want? And by the way, he also tells her, Medea also tells Byron that Renee is going to be going along to the next guy with more money than you, because that's all she's in it for. And then Renee is like looking like she's going to backtalk him, but he's like, oh, no, you don't. Just try it. And then Medea tells Byron and Sabrina work together to take care of the baby and settle things wisely and peacefully. And then she tells Medea that Shirley didn't want her children to know that Kimberly got pregnant when she was 12 or whatever, or 13, gave birth when she was 13, because she got raped by her uncle when she was 12.
Record scratch.
Oh, man. And then basically he's like saying, look, you need to deal with this thing that happened to you and forgive your abuser because you're taking it out on the rest of your family. And I was like, this is the part where like Tyler Perry is like pulling up from his real like personal resources to say, this is how you deal with this kind of shit. So
I was a little horrified by this. Actually.
Oh no, it's actually, you know, a good message or whatever, but B, yeah, record scratch.
Is it a good message?
Well, in that you should probably seek therapy.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can process the situation.
The default, the gestalt that you must forgive your abuser, like just
maybe
that is the bottom line, no, A to Z right there. That's
But you wouldn't want to, in a mainstream movie, you wouldn't want to say, we need to forgive yourself for being the victim of abuse. It's like, because that leads to whole different roads and stuff, because it's not. Anyway. Okay, so Kimberly then is like, she's all basically laid bare by this whole thing, and she's going to resolve to sort out her issues with Calvin, and she doesn't know how to begin, but gives him a hug and apologizes, and agrees to get some professional help. Byron breaks up with Renee because she's a gold digger. Not saying she's a gold digger, but she's not dating any broke Byrons. Then in another screeching turn, they go on the Maury show because Medea, Mr. Brown, and Cora, because, of course, Cora is Medea's daughter. With Mr. Brown, apparently. And the amount of time that Mr. Brown had sex with Medea keeps going down in a comedic fashion during this movie. Like,
I mean the duration of the incident.
Yeah, exactly, yes. That was the worst 35 seconds. That was the last 20. That was the worst 15 seconds of my life. So they have this whole Dina reveal where Cora Mr. Brown is not Cora's father. And then that was where Medea goes running from the stage in hysterics in a parody of the Maury contestant.
And then,
I guess it's not a contest. It's a guest.
Panelists.
Yes. There you go. Panelists.
Guests, one might say. Do we ever figure out who Cora's dad is, or was it?
No.
Like, Medea doesn't know because she was a hoe.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing is, like, I'm trying to figure out Medea, because Medea, apparently there are a dozen movies I can watch to figure this out, but, like, because Medea is not holding herself up as an example of what to do. She just has a lot of wisdom she'll drop on you.
Right.
Knowledge she has learned from, yeah.
Do as I say, not as I do. Hello.
Exactly. So, any more notes on...
No.
I am glad we watched this movie, though. I really am.
I'm glad I watched it. I'm still baffled by parts of it, but I laughed. So, you know, mission accomplished. It's a fine movie. It certainly wasn't as bad as some of the other Dreck that we've watched. So,
oh no! It was for a movie that if you stripped out all the comedy, it would just be sad. It's just a sad tale. Like, it'd be a lot of, like, relationship movies, like, from Hallmark or whatever. But,
oh,
total it would melodrama.
It would be an hour lifetime. And it would be interminable.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And there would be maybe, like, one comic relief character, but you just feel cringy about putting comic relief. But no, this is all a big, huge, actually several messages all wrapped up in this jokey joke shell.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the trailer for this, and again, only from my perspective as somebody who I just saw the ads or whatever, it's like, this is a total bait and switch. If you're going in for a Medea haha comedy movie, like The Clumps or something, you are going to get so much more for your money. This is not a comedy. This is a melodrama with funny, weird characters. And the fact that Tyler Perry, as Madea, who is, just like barely recognizable as just not Tyler Perry. You know what I mean? I mean, he's just barely in character or barely in drag or whatever, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I thought he was recognizable.
That was inartful the way I said it. It's like, it's almost like a parody. Am I frozen?
No, you're fine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, it's almost like, it's even less convincing than like Dustin Hoffman as Tootsie or Robin Williams as Mrs. Doubtfire. I think the point.
Or Nathan Lane in The Birdcage.
Yeah. But this may come from the stage play thing, but because he kind of breaks character and is the fourth wall breaker at times, I think that's maybe part of the point. Is that maybe. He is like Madea is a caricature on purpose. Like she's not supposed to be, you're not supposed to mistake her for an actual female actress.
I also think it gives the audience an out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Without, you mean they don't have to deal with the serious issues in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
They can focus all of the attention on her, still get the details of the movie, but not be dragged down by the sadness.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I think Drew might suggest it's the audacity to put all these serious issues in this movie. Like, that is a bold choice.
I give him credit, though, because he wrapped it all up in a movie, and, I watched all of it.
Yeah, oh, no, I enjoyed it. I really did.
Message received.
I enjoyed talking about it. That's how much fun I had. So, yeah. If you were to give this your normal judgment, your grade...
So hard. I don't know. I was thinking about this. I really don't know. It's probably like a B-, C+. It's not any heavy lifting. It does have some funny parts. It's got a short shelf life, though. Like, I don't think I could watch it again and find it anywhere near as funny, because then it would be a surprise. But like you, it does make me kind of interested to see the rest of the universe now.
Oh, I do. And the thing is, I think I'm a little bit the opposite, is that I think the reason I wouldn't necessarily watch it again, because I'd probably enjoy reminiscing about the dumb jokes. I'd probably get more of the dumb jokes, because there's just so many of them. But I wouldn't be so shocked with the bombs that are detonated in this movie.
Shadow landmines is what Storm Large calls them.
Ah, yes. Wow, that's... crazy. Under what context do you hear Storm Large talk about like TV shows or movie plots?
No, it's a lyric in one of her songs.
So. Oh, okay. By the way, shout out to Storm Large, who was on What America's Got Talent or something. I didn't see it, but yeah, good for her.
Yeah. I'm hoping that we can see her in Vegas when we're there. I'm hoping that she's going to be at the auditions for AGT when we're there, since they're performing there.
Oh, nice. Okay. Cool.
But I suspect we won't be that lucky.
Here's hoping.
Yeah. I don't think Stormy listens to our podcast, but
oh, if only Miss Large. Not her real name, I'm sure. If you come on our show.
It's her real name. Storm Large is her real name.
Like, so her dad and mom are like Tim and Kathy Large?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Well, yeah. So Miss Large, we'd love to have you on the program. We wouldn't even have to talk about a movie. We could just talk about hidden landmines or shadow mines or whatever it's
shadow
called.
Shadow landmines. Yeah.
And also Princess Di, because she was all in this. Shadow landmines. Okay.
That's bad.
So I really enjoyed the movie. I actually recommend the movie in a strange way. I agree with you that it's not much more than like a B. I'd give it like a solid B, only because there's just so much shit going on, and it was like I didn't find it, like for all the weird shadow landmines that exploded, there was still some fun stuff to it. So
it wasn't tedious. It wasn't work to get through. It wasn't so disparagingly depressing that it made me have to pause and come back to it.
Yeah,
so,
and it made me think about some things. Like, it made me think about...
Yeah, for those reasons, alert.
Well, no, it made me think about, like, just the subtle misogyny of the patriarchy. to sound like too much of a liberal there. So anything else about the Madea universe?
Not yet.
Madeer. It's hilarious. It's just dumb, but funny. So I was watching today. By the way, we're doing a rare afternoon recording instead of an evening recording. So, and I'm still on vacation. It's been a weird vacation because basically the vacation's been mostly just taking care of the parents' dog because it's a little bit of a high maintenance thing. I mean, not in a bad way. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Well, I get it because I wouldn't call what I'm on as a vacation as much as it's just kind of a excursion.
Yeah. So I'm actually being lazy and stuff. To me, I'm sort of justifying it as. Yeah, I'm reevaluating all sorts of things in my life, and one of them is just taking the enjoyment. You know, because some days I want to play like 5 hours of Skyrim just to turn my brain off and spend a lot of time like doing imaginary smithing.
Yeah,
yeah. Or watching a movie, or just you know going on a drive. Like yesterday, we went on a drive with my family, and it was just dumb and fun. And we went to Tasty Freeze actually. Maybe for the first time I've ever been to Tasty Freeze.
Oh, really? The Tasty Freeze on Northern Lights?
No.
Or the one out in Raspberry?
Yeah, there's only one. It's on Raspberry. Raspberry and Julie, yeah.
The one on Northern Lights is something else, but it's like a whatever it is.
Yeah. No, it's this is where you go in for the chili dogs that you would suck down behind the Tasty Freeze. and also the dipped cones. Like, getting a medium dipped cone is very big, and B, it was a messy but pleasurable endeavor. And then we picked up Lucky Wishbone for dinner.
And nice.
That was fun. Lucky Wishbone is a local like burger joint. The local burger man. No, that's the Arctic Roadrunner. It's a local burger joint. It's been around as long as I've been alive, not more. And they have this janky drive thru. Where, like, it's, like, this old, like, 50s, like, boxes that you talk in from the driver's side, but you have to pick up your food from the passenger side. And it takes, like we were probably sitting in the drive-thru as third in line for 10 minutes until I backed up, we parked, called in our order to pick up, because now they have, like, a pickup counter, and then waited for another 15 minutes or whatever, 20 minutes until their food was ready and they called us and we go pick it up. I mean, we could have gone inside and ate faster probably. And although it was, you know, it's kind of like food these days is pricey. Like going out, like we haven't gone out in a long time, so it's always like a little bit of a sticker shock. But, you know, it satisfied a need. Let's see, what was the reason I was bringing this all up? Yeah, just, you know,
because you're taking time for yourself.
Yeah,
you're
doing kind of. Yeah, I'm feeling a little guilty because, you know, you're here spending the entire time with the family, the folks rather, and I'm like doing none of that. I mean, a tiny bit of stuff behind the scenes, but not much.
I don't know if I told one or both of you, but I'm like, no, this is fine. I'm happy to do this because I'm leaving on Monday, and so you guys are going to have to shore up in the meantime.
Yeah.
In the short term, but I'm seemingly things are getting better day by day.
Good.
I'm decently confident at this point. If I didn't feel good about leaving, I wouldn't leave because I have plenty of leave time remaining. And I have 9 more weeks of FEMLA leave available this year, and we run our FEMLAs January 1st to December 31st. So January 1st, I get 12 more weeks.
Oh, wow.
So if need be, I can come back easily for another up to nine weeks. Now, I don't envision that happening. Knock on wood.
And this isn't guaranteed paid leave, so you could take the time, but not.
It's not guaranteed paid leave, but what would happen once I've run out of, and I have plenty of vacation pay. I wouldn't run out of leave anytime soon. But once I've exhausted everything, then I can get donations from people, and people donate all the time because people like me hit a cap of vacation, and rather than if we can't take it, I donate it to somebody.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
So I hate to. I'm not going to see it just disappear.
That's good to know.
So. You know, there's things. If I need to come back, I will. I don't have any hesitation.
Excellent.
And then, you know, the folks are going to come visit me in theory in October still.
Yeah, no reason why they couldn't.
And we're going to Vegas. And then Ostensibly, Jesse and I will be up for Christmas, although the duration of which now I'm not sure what that's going to look like. So
yeah,
I may come for 3 or 4 weeks. He'll probably come for a weekish.
Yeah.
It really depends.
Well, 3 weeks is a long time. Especially with his job, I'm sure.
For me, it's so hard to travel anymore.
That's true. You're right.
It's such a hassle to travel these days. And again, first world problems, right? You know, boohoo, it's difficult to drive to the airport and wait in line and wait for a plane and fly on a plane, you know, all of that.
Oh, but it is. Right? It's inconvenient. It's uncomfortable.
Well, now I don't live by the airport. You know, it's 45 minutes to an hour to the airport. So
yeah.
I have to tack that onto my, you know, should be there early kind of thing. And if there's traffic, I get hosed. So
yeah,
it's worrisome in a way that it wasn't before. But again, I'm not complaining. I'm happy to do it. So bottom line, if need be, I'll be back.
Okay. But you don't see any things that we can't handle here?
I mean, because
turns out, either, you know, Drew and I can drop a bunch of stuff. It's not quite as convenient, but there's no reason. Drew lives literally down the street from them, and we don't live very far at all. So especially in the summertime, it takes like, you know, 7 minutes to get to their house, like during rush hour.
I'm confident watching them interact, because Dad's watching Mom.
Yeah.
More. He's got some surveillance up.
Okay.
that sounds sinister. Yeah. That's not why. I think he's paying attention to her kind of a little more. He's a little more attentive to her behavior than he was, which I think we all are. I think I'm certainly paranoid.
Sure.
But also, I have to tell myself, she's probably, with the device, she's the safest one of all of us at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies, so they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the Brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Hey. Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.